Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. Let me ask you fellas this. Our freedoms, are they given to us by Almighty God, our Maker, both here in Canada, or are they given to us as a privilege by a corrupt government?
Well, we know what the Declaration of Independence says, Pastor Ernie, that they are inalienable rights endowed by our Creator. So our rights come from God, not the Supreme Court. And in fact, the American government was instituted to protect those rights. That was the purpose of the Constitution of the United States.
Well, I had a call today, and a fellow called me who had been listening to the radio, was used to live here in Cleveland, moved away, and just moved back after, I don't know, a lot of years. And he was saying, telling me how, look, in Canada, what's happening there against the Patriots, they don't have any guns. We have guns, and it's time right now. It's time that we start using our guns right now. And so I told him, I says, what you just said, you know, that all of our conversations have been monitored. We're being spied on. We're being spied on daily, continuously, by a very, very dark and deep and corrupt underworld, rogue agents in the government, very corrupt. And what you just said there could get somebody to come to your house at 1 o'clock in the morning, break down your door, and probably 30 or 40 of these jackbooted thugs, like they've done to so many here, you know, where they come and they break into your house. Cowboys, okay? Punky boys, little punky boys is the way I look at them. They don't have a lot of courage, not courage at all, okay? And so, and I'm thinking about the fellow that was working, Stone, Oliver Stone?
Roger Stone.
Yeah, Roger Stone. And I'm thinking about what they did to him and others and friends that I know, what they did to. You know, they always come in a whole gang. Not a lot of courage there at all. But anyhow, and so I told him, I said, by what you just said there, they are going to use that to come to your house in the middle of the night, break in. Because, you see, there used to be something called the First Amendment. Do you guys remember that First Amendment?
Vaguely, Pastor Ernie, vaguely.
Yeah,
I remember it.
Who did it apply to?
Everyone.
Now, when did that change? Because today, only those on the far left seem to have a First Amendment right. Those of us who are speaking the truth, those of us that are telling the truth, we don't seem to have that First Amendment right anymore, and we seem to be targeted by what they call the cancel culture.
Yeah, our First Amendment right to speak depends upon what they want to hear. And if they don't like what we're saying, then it's hate speech. And you can't, no hate speech. No hate speech, Mr.
Well, yeah, Joey,
some speech is hateful, and then you're not allowed to say it. That's how they define and get rid of some speech.
You know. Now, do you see any hate speech in the Bible?
Not hate toward that I see it, but they do. They call some of the words of the Bible hate speech, absolutely.
Okay, does the Bible teach that we are to love what God loves and hate what God hates? That we're to love the things? Okay, so in that sense, in there would be, oh, hate speech, but the hate speech would be a speech of righteous indignation, right?
Well, Pastor Ernie, the Bible is truth. So anyone that doesn't believe in the truth, in fact, would to love the truth, anybody that doesn't believe in the truth, so the Bible is speaking about their sin, their rebellion, their against God and against truth. So therefore, they hate the Bible, and people that are of the Bible, they hate us. So what they say is it's hate speech. It's hate speech. And the Bible right now, they're starting, there's a prime minister in, or some politician in Finland. She's on trial right now because she used the Bible to defend against the homosexual agenda, and she's on trial right now for.
I know that she's a real lady. Her and one other, and I left that article sitting on my desk, and I know she's on trial right now because she told the truth. And in Finland now, and other places too. You know, right there in Canada, there's a lot of things, parts of the Bible. That have been made illegal. You can't preach them. In other words, if you preach against the sin of abortion or sodomy, there you come under persecution there in Canada. And so, let me ask you this, because the fellow that called me today says, you know, God is angry with America, and God is angry with Canada because. When men should have spoken up and stood up, they didn't. And was he right?
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, God's angry with that every day. The Bible says.
All right. So let me ask you this too, because you see here, what we're trying to tell these people when I'm talking about. These police officers, when I tell them about, you know, they need to repent. They need to repent. They need to obey God and not man. They need to obey God and not man. And that here, you know, they need to try to retain some honor, some dignity. And you can't do that by obeying a little dictator, a little tyrant out there. Now, you remember what... After World War II, when they were bringing in the Nazis for war crimes, do you remember what every single one of them said? Said we were just obeying orders.
Just obeying orders, Pastor.
And do you think that will carry any weight when they stand before Almighty God?
No.
Oh no! Everybody is responsible for their own actions, Pastor.
So, John, you're being the Cops of Christ, the head of the president and one of the founders of Cops for Christ International. Tell the police officers out there, tell them, in your opinion, what they need to do, because they're going to have to stand before Almighty God someday, aren't they?
Well, they've got two things going on, Pastor Ernie. They've got to stand against the government, and they are in the government. I mean, what happens when the government goes rogue? You know, and they might have to resign. They might have to speak up and state why it's wrong and they can't do it. They'd have to, like, articulate it and say, I cannot do this. This is against the Constitution of the United States. Or Canada, and that this is my reasons, and I cannot obey illegal orders. You know,
well,
in the
well,
case
we...
of the United States, we've got an oath. You know, we take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. I did as an agent, and there was no way I was ever going to obey any order that was detrimental to. The rights that we have, you know, so they have to do that, Pastor Ernie, and then they need power to do it, and that power comes from God. You know, God gives us power to stand for truth.
And so, you're telling these Canadian police officers and all of those here, whatever country we're on, that they're a lot better off to listen to what God has to say. And not what these corrupt bureaucrats, politicians have to say. Is that right?
Well, Pastor Ernie, Romans 13 about government, it always mentions about the people always bring up about obeying government. Remember, these, like Hitler did it, the Nazis did it. Remember
well,
this, Ernie?
The prissy preachers do that because they don't have the courage to tell the truth. It's easier. They can tell you, well, yeah, I believe in God, I fear God, but I'm looking around, I don't see God, I see government, so I'm going to go with the flow. Okay, I mean that's what's happening today with your prissy preachers. But now,
Pastor Ernie, hold on for a second, please. Romans 13, right?
Yeah.
Who did God ordain the police against? You know, the purpose of the police.
The purpose of the police was, okay, they were to be ministers, okay, for God. In other words, they were to be obeying God's laws.
Yes, exactly. Romans 13:3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. See? Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? I mean, the rulers are to be against evil. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You'll have praise of the government, a legitimate government, doing good. So who are the police to be a terror to? Citizens that are upset with a tyrannical government that used a false pandemic. Well, it was a pandemic for the elderly, definitely. But and then taking all their rights away, and the people stand up against it, and the government now says that they're terrorists, they invoke terrorist laws, and they want to destroy them. So who are the police supposed to be for in this? Not the tyrannical government. That's the evildoer.
Right. And so you would tell them, look, you're going to be standing before God someday. And guess what? Old Trudeau's going to be right there with you. All of those people who you think that you can benefit by listening to them and maybe get a promotion or whatever, they're going to be standing before God too. And he's the judge, okay? Now, here's the thing. If we take a look back through history and we look for examples, if we go into the book of Exodus, you had these two women, all right, and their name was Shiphrah and Puah. And Shiphrah and Puah, they were midwives, but they were employed by the government. They were employed by the government. And the government ordered them to kill the boy babies. Now, did they obey God or did they obey the government?
They obeyed God, Pastor.
Okay. Now, you had this guy named Moses. Now, he was actually a prince in the Egyptian government, and he had a choice to either obey, to be a part of that government or to obey God. And which one did he choose?
Obey God.
Well, we had this fellow named Daniel. Remember Daniel? Daniel was a sheriff. Daniel was a sheriff. And he had the choice to make to obey God or to obey a government decree. And which one did he choose?
Obey God.
And so, would you suggest to the police officer that those words that we just read, God had given them to us, and for 6,000 years, the Word of God has come down and it's held its ground. 1,800 prophecies in God's Word have come to pass exactly when, exactly where God said they would be, exactly how. And that the only real thing, I mean, the only thing for absolute positive that we can count on, that we can completely and totally trust on in existence today, is the Word of God. Would you say that would be a good message for them?
I would, Pastor Ernie, and you're right. God, all power comes from God. So the power of the police ultimately doesn't come from the state. It comes from God. And we're responsible to God how we hold that power. So there are people that have had to resign, like nurses that were, they were required by their job all of a sudden to do abortions. They wouldn't do it. You know, doctors had to resign for ethical reasons like that. You know, the problem is, Pastor Ernie, and this is a hard thing for the police and for Americans to realize, is the government now has become evil like Nazi Germany. You know, people lived in Germany. They had a good life. You know, World War One was rough, all the things that happened with the war, the economy and all. And they didn't have to face, like, the Nazis came to power, and then all of a sudden, good is evil, and evil is good. And there was a lot of people that had to pay a price and stand against the Nazis, and that's the way it is now. We have a government here that is against, they hate America, they hate Americans. Their allegiance is to a new world order. And Pastor Ernie, this is being revealed now. You and I and John Holman, you had other speakers on here that have been talking about this for years, and we could see it, and it was hard for the people to see it, but now it's unmistakable, Pastor Ernie. What's going on in Canada is right under the surface here. The Canadians have their eyes open to Trudeau's loyalty is not to Canada. His loyalty is to the New World Order. He's a disciple of Klaus Schwab and here in America. So we have to come to grips that there is a evil that's permeating America, just like it is Canada. It's out, really out blatantly in the open in Canada now. But what they're doing in Canada, they sure want to do here too, Pastor Ernie, because they hate us.
Pastor Ernie,
they hate us, but
directly to the police.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are more consequences involved than they are foreseeing. When you start touching God's people, God does not turn his back. He does not close his eyes. So they need to be warned. We've seen, and I know John can testify this, and you can too, Pastor Ernie, people that have come against God's people, especially in the pro-life, there's consequences for them. Absolutely. So my warning to those police is, you are now in the hands of Almighty God, and that is a terrible place to be. It's a frightening thing to fall into his hands, so stop. Come into, you know, take a stand as one. If you have to, don't be a coward. Don't come against God's people, and that's a real warning, because God will defend them.
You know, let me give you some examples of that. We had a fellow named Alan. He used to attend our church. He moved away, but he was an active pro-lifer, and they came after him. They tried to set him up because of the corruption, you know, those the payoffs. And so I went, and I was called in as a witness, and I was in the witness stand, and I had a tie on, and the tie was John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you know, that he became his only begotten son. So this prosecutor steps up, and he points to my tie, and he says, "Are you going to tell me you really believe that?" with a smirk on his face. And I told him, "Yeah, I believe it. And listen here, you will too. There's absolutely no chance that you won't. You're going to believe this." And he had this look of fear, and the judge looked at him, and the judge says, "Well, I guess he told you, right?" And so, but both of those two, both that prosecutor and the judge, ended up shortly after that going to prison for crimes they got outed on. And so, and I've seen this. Remember when I sang that song to the witches, "Don't fall into that burning lake of fire." And remember, they charged me with terrorists, with a criminal trespass and terrorizing the witches for singing that song to them out there at that bloody, bloody Planned Predators. Well, they charged me for that, and that prosecutor and that judge They shortly after that went to prison, too, for money laundering, running drugs, and actually, from what I was told, running a whorehouse out of apartment buildings that they owned, okay? And so I can see all time and time again people where the brothers in the Lord, well, for good example, Dr. Ken Hovind. You remember Dr. Ken Hovind? They put him in prison. He went to, the real reason he went to prison was the real reason is because he was debating these evolutionists and he was ripping them to shreds. And some of the college kids in the colleges that were going to these debates, they were listening and they were saying, hey, you know what? This guy makes sense. And they had to stop this because he was becoming more and more popular. Okay. So they charged him with false charges, and the false charges were that he was withdrawing his own money from the bank. He was withdrawing his own money, but you couldn't withdraw up to $10,000, okay, over $10,000 without filling out some paperwork. He stayed under that, his own money that he would use in his ministry. And they still charged him, but the real reason, they had to get him off of the tour. He was ripping but now the prosecutor him in that case, guess what? Shortly afterwards, was convicted of molesting a little 5-year-old girl, and he went to prison for that. I can give you an example, you know, there's examples all day long, what you just said. Scripture says, touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed, huh?
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, I want to add one more thing here for these police officers and anyone that's involved in coming against these people. Hebrews 10:30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. But Pastor Ernie, here's what's coming. If they do not stop this, coming against God's people and supporting ungodly communists. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Pastor, I guarantee, testify from past experience, it will happen. And please, don't be the one that God has to make an example out of. And it will be the Lord. It won't be by hand of man. It'll be by God's hand. So don't force God's hand, because he will do it.
Well, that is my advice to those police officers. Obey God and not Trudeau. Obey God and not Trudeau. And here, this guy is freezing the bank accounts of citizens who donated to Freedom Convoy. And that's what it's about. It's about freedom. It's about freedom. Okay. And so, and you police officers, those truck drivers that you're harassing, those are the ones that have brought the food that's on your table. Again, if you bought it, they brought it. The furniture that's in your house, the cars that you drive, they brought that. And what you have to understand, they want freedom. Trudeau, that guy is a Satanist, the Satanist come. He is an antichrist. Trudeau is an antichrist, and you do not. Not only are you not obligated to obey unlawful orders from an unlawful man, but shame on you. You'll have to answer to God for doing that. There you go. Like Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. And that's my advice for you police officers. Find some integrity. Get your integrity. Get some honor back. Be good and honest. Try to do the right thing. Now, here's a guy that didn't do the right thing, okay? Hillary's attorney, Mark Elias, is listed on tax filings for burn, loot, and murder. Now, it's unknown, however, how he got there. And so Hillary Clinton's former campaign lawyer, the man who spearheaded a dirt-digging investigation that led to the unsubstantiated dirty dossier on Donald Trump, is now working for Burn, Loot, and Murder, formerly called Black Lives Matter, according to the secretive foundation's most recent tax filings. Attorney Mark Elias eponymous law firm was named several times in a Bern Luton murder, formerly Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation's charity registration renewing filing, which was submitted in California on February 11th. The revelation comes from the leaderless organization faced intense pressure from California's Department of Justice, which accused it of failing to submit to annual financial reports and alleging it was in delinquent status. Well, wait till Eric Garland hears about that. I mean, isn't his duty sworn first to Bern Luton murder and Antifa? It's definitely not to the citizens of the United States, is it?
Well, Pastor, Bern Luton murder and Antifa are tools, arms of the New World Order. So, no, his concern is to crush and destroy the American people that would resist the New World Order and to advance the agenda, advance their agenda in every way possible. So we have to come to grips that we have like a foreign entity now that we've had like a coup, and a foreign entity which doesn't look at nationalism but looks at an internationalism as its goal. They don't have American interest at all, Pastor Ernie. These are, like I say, it's like a foreign entity has taken over America.
All right, Canadian officials freeze bank accounts of citizens who donated to Freedom Convoy. A state-run media brags about using data from Give, Send, and Go, criminal hackers to target citizens. Now, after declaring an emergency act of Monday, Little Castro government is tracking down freedom protesters and their supporters and freezing their bank accounts. Now, let me ask you guys this, okay? If you had your money in a bank, and you know that bank was allowing other people, depositors, to have their accounts froze, what would you do? I would pull my money out of that bank right away.
Absolutely. And that's apparently what's happened in Canada, Pastor Ernie, and the six major banks in Canada are offline right now.
Okay, and now... Do you think maybe Little Castro has got something up his sleeve there?
Well, the circumstantial evidence kind of looks that way. They went offline for, I think they're back online now, aren't they, John? They went offline for a while.
I don't know. There was a big run on the banks, and they went offline.
Yeah, a lot of strong circumstantial evidence that it happened just at the time that they did that. So I kind of agree with John there. It looks like they were trying to stop a run on the banks. I would take my money out, absolutely. Never put it in again, ever. I'd want to see those institutions go bankrupt.
Absolutely. Now, here, do you know what they call Blue Step, what Blue Step is?
No.
Blue Step is the new term they're using for the Deathocrats being in lockstep. No matter what they're told to do, they all do it. They stand together. No matter what it is, if they're told to vote for a certain thing, no matter how sinful, how ungodly, how anti-God, anti-country it is, they go Blue Step. That's what the word they use now. Blue Step means to be in lockstep. Okay. But what's happening now is some of the Deathocrats are seeing the writing on the wall. They know what's coming here, coming in May, the primaries that's coming here. Now, if you were one of those Deathocrats and you had done that, you had voted in lockstep, and you knew that you were going to lose the election big time because of your voting record, would you say, well, I'm not going to run again and just get destroyed. Is it better for me to just step down and not run again? And here we take a look at Representative Kathleen Rice, from the New York's 4th District. She's the 30th Democrat congressman that has announced that it's not going to run again, that she's not running anymore. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's good. I'd like to see them all get out. I'd like to see the Democratic Party outlawed. That's what I'd like to see.
All righty. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. Since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, nor subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. When the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize the sweet bride the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
That's a message from the Patriots to you. That those that are working out there for the government and you are persecuting the Patriots, what comes around goes around. It's year after them today, and it'll be your turn tomorrow. Do the right thing. Listen to what God's Word, the Bible, has to say. Obey God rather than man. Let's go to Michigan and have Craig. Craig, you're in the air. Hello.
How's it going, Ernie? Pastor Ernie.
It's going. What's up?
And I need your advice on something here. So you heard about this whole supply chain kerfuffle around the whole world I was trying to order myself a cross necklace last weekend, and said it's not shipping. I don't get why. It's and I don't know how to deal with this stuff. Do you have any advice for how to deal with this in the name of God?
No, I ordered some hats. The hats say on there, America Needs Jesus. They're in bold print. Okay. And, well, I ordered those hats almost a year ago, and I called and I talked to the people that I bought the original hats from. I got, and they said, well, they've been sitting out there on a barge someplace, the hats. You know, they do the printing on them, but the hats are sitting out there. And they said, as soon as we get them, you'll get them. Now, the little red books that we have, the ones that were the Bible answer books that are really great. I mean, people love those Bible answer books.
Five of them.
Yeah, so I went to order those, and it took me months because the good people that print those couldn't get paper and they couldn't get ink, and to print them. Well, then so I ordered a lot extra. So when they finally did get the paper, the ink, I ordered a lot, and so we have those in stock. Praise the good Lord for that. And you folks out there listening, next to the Bible, I think that's the best book you can possibly have.
Yes, sir.
All righty. John, do you have any advice for him?
I couldn't hear him, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I couldn't really hear him.
Okay, tell him what you ordered.
So I ordered a cross chain, like a necklace with the cross on it, last weekend. And with the whole supply chain kerfuffle, like I said, that thing's not coming. I don't know how to deal with that, you know, like mentally and all that stuff.
Well, just give it to the Lord. And you know what? You've got the Bible. I got to move on, but thanks, Craig. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're in the air.
Greetings, Pastor Ernie. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to fill you in on a few things. You have a constitution. Your inalienable rights come from God. That's your constitution. In Canada, we have a constitution. Do you want to know if you become a Canadian citizen any country in the world and you want to become a Canadian citizen, you got to swear an oath. If you want to become a cop or join the armed forces or the Air Force or the Navy, any branch of the police departments, federal, provincial, or municipal, you know who you got to swear an oath to? Her Majesty the Queen. Okay, Trudeau was put into power by people. Are you still hearing me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Trudeau was put into power by a bunch of old hippie types that have wanted to bring back the romance of his old man, Pierre. Now we have the young voters. When he got elected in 2015, a lot of young voters that don't know anything about politics, because we had a good prime minister. Stephen Harper was a conservative. And our public broadcaster that costs $1 billion a year, that heretic CBC, and I'll use these words, LGBTQ, sodomite, pro-feminist CBC, does nothing but bash and debase us people that are Christians and conservatives. Now, who's the next in line to that little dictator is that Kristen Freeland. She is a godless little woman. They are all power mad, but we have one thing. We have God on our side, and Trudeau is not a very intelligent man. And most of those liberals right now, God will get even with them one way or another, and the Canadian people will come around. Because right now we're seeing them for the stupid fools they are, and Canadians will not stand for this. Anyways, Pastor Ernie, God bless you, and keep fighting the fight.
Well, God bless you, Dan, and I agree with everything you just said. God bless, and thanks. You do the very same. It ain't over with till we win. There you go. Let's go out to San Diego, and we got Jack.
Yes. During a national emergency, the Constitution is suspended. In 1976, Congress passed the National Emergencies Act, which gave the President of the United States the sole power to declare a national emergency. So since 1976, there's been over 80 national emergencies declared by the various presidents. Probably up until the national health emergency that Trump declared, the most famous one was the national emergency with respect to the war on terror that Bush 43 declared on September 14th, 2001. Now, what happens with these national emergencies is they expire in 1 year unless the current sitting president extends it for an additional year. So out of those 80-plus national emergencies that have been declared, there's over 30 that are still in effect. So every year, like clockwork, for example, the war on terror is extended for an additional year. Now, if the president doesn't sign and renew an emergency on its anniversary date, it expires. And I could say, I could make an argument that the Constitution has been suspended since 1976, only you really didn't feel it. You really didn't feel it until the national health emergency.
Yeah, the courts have ruled that you can't suspend the Bill of Rights.
Well, if you look,
the Bill of Rights have not been suspended. Biden's been defeated every time it's gotten to the courts.
Look, if they can tell you you can't go to church, you can't go to work,
they can't do that now. It's been defeated. You got to stay. They've been state after state. It's been defeated.
But they did it.
Yeah,
they told
it. And you know, yeah, sure, they're tyrants. But so we have to stand. We have to stand. The pastors should have never gone along with it. Pastors should have gone to jail rather than go along with what the what was being done to them.
Well, you see what happened here when they did that here in Ohio, and they said you can't, you're going to have to suspend no more than 10 people. I tell you, and you have to wear masks, and you have to do that. Well, guess what? We obey God rather than man, you know? And God's word tells us not to cover our face for the image of God. And and the God's word, the Bible, made it very, very clear not to forsake the assembling of ourselves in the house of God. So we never missed a service. We were there, and we didn't do any of that socialist distancing, which is nothing but an absolute foolishness, and we didn't wear the masks. We obey God and not a stupid, corrupt government. And you know what? Real pastors did that. Real pastors, real men of God that were not 501c3 corporations did that. None of the UBF churches did any of that mask thing. None of the UBF churches, canceled their services. And the UBF Unregistered Baptist, meaning non-501c3 actual New Testament churches, none of them, they all obeyed God. They all kept going to church. They didn't wear the masks because they knew to obey God and not a corrupt government.
So I'll make a prediction. I think what they're planning on doing now is to classify certain groups in the United States as domestic terrorists and go after them.
They've done it already.
On terror.
They've done it already.
That means they're going to go after your bank accounts. And here's where there's a problem. The FDIC insurance only kicks in if the bank fails. Now, if the bank goes offline or closes for a week, that's not failing. And if you look at your currency, it's essentially like Bitcoin. It's electronic currency. Most people don't deal in cash. They do online banking, and they're a prisoner to the system. It's so easy for the government to confiscate your funds now, because the only private financial transaction is cash. Banks don't even carry a lot of cash today. If you take all the wealth of the United States, less than 1% of that wealth is represented in currency, and most of that currency is in storage at the various 12 district Federal Reserve banks.
You know what, Jack?
Well, you're absolutely right. You're
everything,
absolutely right.
You know, John, everything that he just mentioned, I found that written in a book that all of this was going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Revelation 13, Preston.
It's all, everything is coming down, okay, is falling exactly in place, just the way God's Word, the Bible, said it would be. So we're seeing all of these things happening. So, but there's something else that's happening that is even telling you that the time of the Lord's return is even clearer, and that is what they're doing with these bioweapons, and they're changing the DNA of the human body. Once they've done that, remember, the last time they did something like that was during Genesis 6, and you heard about that thing they called the flood? But anyhow, thanks, Jack. I got to move on.
All right.
Okay, we'll take one more call. Who do we have? Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. I want to go to Amos chapter 4 and get your take on that, because that's talking about the selective payback of the Lord, where he's just doing selectivity with his payback. Amos chapter 4.
Okay, so in Amos chapter 4, hear the word, you kind of Bashan, that are in a mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor and crush the needy. Do you know who he's talking to, the kind of Bashan? Do you know who he's referring to?
No.
He's referring to the women, the wives, the wealthy wives in Israel. He says, hear that, you kind of Bashan, they are the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that you will take away the hooks and your posterity with fish hooks, and you shall go into the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and you shall cast them into the places, saith the Lord. Come, Bethel, the transgressors at Gilgal, multiple transgressors, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years here. So he's talking about Israel's wealthy women who were compared to cows of Bashan because they were pampered and they were, sleek and well-fed, the cows of Bashan. So those women selfishly pushed their husbands to oppress the poor people, the helpless people, in order to supply their lavish lifestyle. It's just like those that are in Isaiah chapter 3, the daughters of Zion. That's who he's referring to.
Right, and then it goes further about how saying the Lord would not have it rain on certain cities.
Well, Amos is being sarcastic, and he's telling them, now come to Bethel and transgress. Yes, come out there. Come to Bethel and, show God who's boss. Show him who you women are, At Gilgal, multiply your transgressions and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after. In other words, he's telling them, he's being sarcastic and telling them, go ahead and let the Lord know who you are, because, boy, you're in trouble, is basically what he was telling them.
In other words, show your true colors.
Yep.
Do it even more. Just show who you are, basically.
Yep. He's calling them out. That's what Amos was doing, calling them out. But I'm out of time for tonight. And so, John and John, which of you two last week gave the invitation? Do you remember?
No, Pastor.
Oh, it was Holman. We just got the word. It was Holman. So that means, yeah, I did. A little guy whispered in my ear. He remembers that. So it's your turn, McTerman.
And Pastor Ernie, how much time?
You've got how much time? 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, every week we are showing you the difference between manifestation of evil. Evil is real, folks. Evil just isn't people that are against us, but evil is a people that give their heart and their minds over to Satan. And we can see it manifesting right before our very eyes. They want to kill every baby possible. They want to destroy God's institution of marriage. They want to destroy God's institution of creating us male and female. They're in the process of trying to depopulate the earth with these death shots. And the list can go on. So God is righteous and holy, and we need to be on his side. The problem is we have all been born with a sin nature. Every one of us has to, at some point in our life, repent and confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. With God, there's no middle ground. You're either with him or you're not. And he's provided the method that we can be linked to him through forgiveness. He can become our father, the Bible says. In fact, we could call him Abba Father, Daddy. We can have eternal life. He'll heal our heart here. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, free us of bondage in our minds. But it takes repentance of sin and confession that Jesus Christ is our Lord, that is your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for sin, and that he bodily rose from the dead. That's really the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. Anyone that will do that, God is no respecter of persons. Anyone that will follow God's method for salvation, he will accept into his kingdom. No matter how bad your past was, no matter how many things you did wrong or terrible, that all can be forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. All right, Pastor Ernie, I think I've covered that.
All right, very good. Again, how sure are you of that, John McTernan?
Well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of the word.
Absolutely. So heaven and earth will pass, but there's only one thing that will never pass away. One thing. And that's
the word of God.
Amen. So that's, folks, this is what we try to get across to you. Boy, you got to understand that. If you and some people say, I don't believe it. You will. There's no chance that you won't. No unbelievers in heaven or hell. They all believe one way or the other. And that's absolute. Well, we are out of time for tonight, like we get to this time. I want to thank you guys for being here. You've done good tonight. And so, okay.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pastor Ernie. Holman did good tonight. I agree with you.
All righty. Until tomorrow, we got to say good night. God bless. Always, always keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.